Okay, good evening, everyone. We are on the second leg or second installment of our series called Cross Training. We've started off this series last Sunday. We're talking about cross training. The premise of this series is basically taken from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. And I think that Pastor JD explained this clearly. It says here, have nothing to do with irreverent silly myth. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, Bible says godliness is of value in every way. Now, I want us to fix our eyes on the words, train yourself for godliness. All right, here's how I would want us to understand this. Look at this one. The very fact that Paul here is encouraging all of us here tonight to train ourselves for godliness, it gives us a picture that godliness is not automatic to a Christian man. Because if you were born a godly person already, if you try to parallel that with your bodily training, if you were born with six-pack already, you're not going to train for anything. So it gives you a picture that as Christians, as a son and as a daughter of God, we will have to lug in hours of training ourselves for godliness. Folks, I want us to understand that the day that you got birthed again in the Spirit, in the eyes of God, with all its legalities, you are a righteous person. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you are a godly one. So let me just segue a little bit. If you're here and you are a single lady in this room, you're believing God for a husband. Anyone who's believing God for a husband, come on. Having said that, it gives us a picture that if you're here and you want to be married down the road, it would be better for you not just to pray for a Christian man, but you pray for a godly one. In your standing before God, you are a righteous person. No question about that. But when it comes to your character, your attitude, your behavior, your motives, your deeds, you know that we will have to train ourselves for godliness. You know, if you look at the word train here, I don't know with you, but whenever you train for something, you invest time into it. We have students here tonight who loves, you know, training for Dota. For you to become better at Dota, you'll have to invest money into it. Hello? So meaning to say, whenever you train for something, you invest not just time, but you invest money. That's why we encourage everyone to go out there and buy their own Bibles. Why? Because it is an investment that reaps eternal rewards. We are not apologetic when it comes to us encouraging people to get their own Bibles for that matter. So whenever you train for something, invest time, invest resources. Not just that, you also invest a lot of energy into it. If you want to be good at what you are doing. Now, if you're here tonight, you know, if you want to be a godly person, the Bible is basically telling us that we'll have to train and invest for it. I have here a picture of one of our leaders. His name is Ryan. Ryan is right there. He's a triathlete. Ryan would be the first to tell all of us here tonight that whenever he would train for a certain triathlon, he will not just invest money, time, and energy into it, but there are sacrifices that needs to be done along the way. So meaning to say, if you want to be a godly person, you don't just invest time, resources, and energy. There are some sacrifices that you'll have to do. Meaning to say, there are things that are hindering you right now from having a thriving and flourishing relationship with God. You'll have to sacrifice all of those if you want to choose God and have Him as the first priority over your lives. And then it says here, you train yourselves for godliness. Look at the word yourselves. I mean, this is very clear. One look, one glance at this verse, this word yourself right here would begin to tell all of us here tonight that your growth as a Christian, your maturity as a Christian, your progress as a Christian is your responsibility. It is true that, you know, in victory, we have people who would help us, you know, in our walk with God. Well, may you appreciate your disciples. You appreciate, you know, people coming up to you and, you know, having one-to-one with you. We appreciate all of these people. And as a discipler, it is our responsibility, it is your responsibility to basically, you know, feed the people around you. To make sure that they are doing good in their Christian walk. But at the end of the day, the Bible is very clear. At the end of the day, our responsibility for growth to ourselves is on us. Meaning to say, if you're here tonight, you're making some reasons like, I am not growing the faith because I have an absentee disciple. That doesn't actually equate in God's word. You could be in Victory, you could be in a church, you can be a Christian for 10 years now, yet when people look at you, when people talk to you, you're like a three-month-old Christian. But at the same time, you can be a three-month-old Christian, when people look at you and people talk to you, it seems like you have been a 10-year-old Christian. You've been 10 years in the faith. At the end of the day, folks, your growth will be your own responsibility. Who among you wants to grow, you want to grow in the faith? That is on us. That will have to be our responsibility. Having said that, if you're here tonight and you know we are not growing the faith, you know, one of the good questions that we could ask is this one. What are the things that I am not doing as to why I'm not growing in the faith? And this is what basically this series is all about. We're talking about cross-training. The first one we said, yeah, the first one we've talked about prayer. Who am I? You are seated right next to a prayerful person. Nafi-feel mo yung anointing. May anointing tong tao to. Grabe yung prayer. You know, David. You know, David went before God. This is what, you know, what was preached last week. And he just basically told God, Lord, I love you. Lord, my strength. It shows his relationship with God. Folks, I want us to understand that the instruction of Jesus towards us is mag-prayer and fasting, hindi mag-fasting sa prayer. And a lot of times, nag-fasting tayo sa prayer, we try to do things on our own. And we become self-reliant for that matter. This afternoon, or rather this evening, we're going to talk about the second one, which is Bible reading. Psalm 19, verse 7 to 11, it says here, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Let's try to look at these verses one by one. Let's try to sort this out. But I want you to understand that in David's lifetime, he was able to write 70 plus Psalms. Can you imagine just how thriving, how deep his relationship with God was? For him to be able to write all of these songs. And because he was a person who would do cross-training. Okay, he was a person who's very, you know, who walked closely with the Lord. It says in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I want us to fix our eyes on the word law for a while. Tell the person beside you, law. For the benefit of our discussion here tonight, whenever we say law here tonight, we're talking about God's word. All right, we're talking about the Bible right here. Now look at this one. The word law here was derived from the what? From the Hebrew word called Torah, which means what? Instructions or legal directives. All right? Now, take note, whenever the word legal is mentioned, there's always a consequence if you follow it or not. So the law basically here is God's word. So the word Torah right here is actually also derived from another Hebrew word called yara, which means to shoot an arrow and hit the mark, bullseye. That is why it says here that the law of the Lord is bullseye, it's perfect. So it would be safe for me to assume and interchange the word law here with God's word, meaning to say God's word is perfect. I want you to understand that this is not just a suggestion. I want us to understand that this is not just an opinion. This is a truth. This is a fact. God's word is perfect. If you're living a life that embraces this truth, and I tell you what, it's actually very beneficial for us simply because everything that you do in this lifetime is hinged on the boundaries of God's word. If you know that God's word is perfect, then it will be beneficial for you. God's word is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. We can make a lot of arguments as to why God's law is perfect. But you know, there are some things that we could look at even in the course of history that gives us a picture that God's word is perfect. It's above every wisdom that you could actually get in this world. It's better than Google. The ancient world, before they realized that the world was round, they thought the world was flat. They thought if we try to journey and make a voyage to the end of the world, we might fall off. But they realize it's not gonna happen. Why? Because there were people who circumnavigated the world, and that was the time they realized that the world was round. I want you to understand that even before they realized all of those things, the Bible already recorded that God sits in the circle of the earth in the book of Isaiah. People in our days right now would begin to say, there's something wrong with the world right now. Time will come, decades or centuries from now, something bad will happen to the world. It's going to be one big cold mass. And that is the opinion of the world. But if you come to understand, Peter would begin to say that there's something that's going to happen to the world. There's going to be an intense heat in the world and not a cold one. Your Bible, friends, has been written by 40 different authors, 3 different languages, different geographical location in a span of 1,500 years. Yet, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, it is one seamless story. The word of the Lord is perfect. The word of the Lord is perfect. If you come to look into this right now, why is the word of God perfect? It's simply because everybody understands that the author of the word is perfect. But there's something more than that. The word of God is perfect. The Bible is perfect simply because, look at this one in John chapter 1 verse 1, it says here, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. One can actually say that God is perfect. Jesus was a personified, basically it's a personified scripture for that matter. That's the reason it is perfect. So take note, it says here, the law is perfect, the word of God is perfect. That is why, because it is perfect, it says there, it begins to revive your soul. Because it is the very person of Jesus Christ, it begins to revive your soul. One way here, you can honestly say that there is a certain season in your life where you need revival in you. The word revival here, reviving here, is from the Hebrew word meshiba, which means restoring. How does this translate to all of us here? It's basically simple. The word of God is perfect. Because it is perfect, it can restore and revive your soul. I'm talking about if you're here tonight and you are in an emotional whirlwind or something like that, you are physically exhausted, you feel like giving up, guess what? Once you get into God's work, you will be revived. The word restore here, if you try to study this text, you might come to understand on what aspect should we be revived if we get into God's word. On what issues in our life are we going to be restored? Look at this one. There's going to be restoration from what? From disorder and decay. Maybe some of you here, you might be thinking, man, everything that's happening in my life right now is falling into pieces. There's just disorder in the home. Guess what? You get into God's word, God's going to bring order into your home. Of course, hindi ko na-explain dito siguro yung decay. Hindi ko na tatanayin kung sino dito ang nadidecay na. Or baka amoy na naagnas. There's restoration for sorrow and affliction. If your heart has been so weary in the past how many days, hindi mo maintindihan, you don't understand yourself, guess what? There's restoration for you. There's restoration from death. There's restoration from emotional weakness. Ladies, you look at yourself in the mirror, you don't feel like you're beautiful. And there's like emotional where you feel insecure, you feel insignificant. Guess what? God would restore and remind you of your identity. There's restoration for physical weakness. Maybe you're here, you're lugging in, lugging out in the office, and you feel so tired. Maybe some of us are like David. There's no more strength enough to whip. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Guess what? There's restoration for us. There's restoration. God would bring about revival in our hearts. Let me just throw this question for a while. Let's just try to be honest here tonight. Who among you wants revival and restoration in your life right now? Just lift your hands before God right now. You want revival and restoration in your life right now. It comes with one condition. This is going to happen to you. It comes with one condition. The condition is very simple. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Get into the Word. Friends, I want us to understand, hindi po sapat, hindi enough ang our daily bread. Once you get through the day, you would come to understand our daily bread is just breadcrumbs. You feel so weak, you get a book, chicken soup for the soul. Kumuha ka ng totoong chicken soup, magmagi ka, mas masarap pa yun. The world will give us a lot of substitute for God's word. Haven't you realized why religions are sprouting left and right? Why? Because there are so many things that would want us to make feel good. But at the end of the day, at the end of the day, nothing will sustain us apart from God's word. Why? Because take note of this one. The Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will remain. What is going to sustain you for the long haul is something that's going to outlive you, and that is God's word. Now tell me if I will not get into God's word, if these are the benefits that I'm going to get from it. I hope we will be a group of people who by now understands and realize that there is a huge difference between a Bible-carrying Christian and a Bible-reading one. Who cares if you have a 2,300 peso Bible? Trim line, thin line, whatever that is. If you don't open your Bible and read it, nothing is going to happen to you. The truth is, we live in a culture wherein we feel like whenever we have a Bible with us, we feel so spiritual. Pabigat lang yan sa bag mo, iwan mo na lang sa bahay kung hindi mo babasahin yan. Ah, kasi there's, parang may power kasi talaga yung Bible. Kasi nakita ko isang lalaki, parang ginano niya sa tao, tapos na-slain siya in the spirit. Ikaw kaya paluin sa ulo, mabigat ng Bible, hindi ka ma-slain? Get into the Word. Read your Bible. At the end of the day, we will have no excuses for this one. We cannot stand before God and tell God, Lord, I didn't have time kasi for the Bible. Sabi nila, duh, ang dami mong tweet. Baka sabihin ni God sa atin, pambira, nakita mo Instagram mo? Sa 10 yung follower mo, yung post mo, 1,500. Wala kang time sa Bible. We have to get into the Word. Tsaka yung Word po, we don't just get a Word to flash it out. Get what I mean? If something has ministered to you, yeah, of course you can share it to so many people. But there are things in our lives that become so personal, then we treasure it. What might your reaction be if I put my profile picture and I put a verse down there? Beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Anong kilalaman ng Bible sa mukha mo? Get into the Word. Allow God, allow the Spirit of God to minister to you personally. Have a quiet moment with God. You know, if you're like me, you know, one of my struggles in my life right now, if you would allow me to be so honest to all of you, one of my struggles right now is my, you know, I used to have a beach bod, but right now, you know, for some reason, it's gone. One of my goals is to be in a good shape for that matter. And I know this one is for me. I want you to catch this. If my wife would prepare something like that, and I stare at that from 8 in the morning up until 5 in the afternoon, nothing's going to happen. I need to get that in my system for something to start happening. It's the same thing with God's Word. A possession of God's Word doesn't make you any spiritual. You have to read it. You have to open it. Baka minsan yung Bible natin inaamag na. If we read God's perfect Word, our soul gets revived. I don't know with you, but some of us right now are in a spiritual coma. And you need to be revived. And that will start to happen. Revival will start to happen in you if you start getting into God's Word. Verse 7, it says here, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The word testimony here is the same word called decree. And you know what a decree is? You know, when there is a king, when there is a king who would begin to decree something, that's final. Let's say I am a king, even against all oppositions, I come before Blaze and tell Blaze, by virtue of the power that has been given to me, Blaze, I'm telling you right now that the entire kingdom of Dumaguete is now yours. This is a decree, and so be it, signed, King Archie Lim. No one can refute that because that is a decree. That is an executive order. So it's telling us here, the decree of the Lord is sure. God's word is sure. How does that translate to all of us here? If you are here tonight, at a certain point in your life, you open your Bible, and God gave you a promise. Guess what? It stands true to this day. You may not have the realization of that promise yet, but God's word stands true. God's word is unchanging. We live in a generation right now wherein there are so many people out there that would try to dilute God's word. God's word is unchanging even in this ever-changing world. People would say, you know, why are you reading the Bible? The Bible is obsolete. People would say that the Bible is obsolete, doesn't embrace the Bible as absolute. People would say, why would you read your Bible? The Bible is primitive. You know this. If the Bible is primitive, then why is it that in any primitive culture, the moment the Bible is preached, for some reason, dignity is raised? Marriage is raised. Now tell me if the Bible is the one that's primitive. We need to get into God's Word. We need the unchanging Word of God in this ever-changing world we live in. It says here, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You know what's one thing that we need in this life? What's one prayer that you could do whenever you wake up in the morning? You pray for wisdom. You know, there's business right here, bosses right here, grades are falling down. There are so many prayers. Number one prayer could be, Lord, give me the wisdom, Lord, to accomplish all of these things. Expand my mind, Lord. Do you folks realize that there is a difference between knowledge and wisdom? Knowledge can be Googled, wisdom cannot. God will give you divine wisdom. He gives wisdom to the simple ones, meaning to say, to the teachable ones, to the humble ones. Meaning to say, friends, the moment you open your Bible, come to imagine this. Every time you open the Bible, always have a mentality that you are an inadequate person. Always have a mentality that you are a rookie in God's Word. That way, with that stance of humility, God will just begin to reveal Himself to you. He makes wise the simple ones. You know, we encounter these kinds of maze in our life. You know, you don't know which course to take. It's because of God's wisdom that you get to begin to navigate in the different courses of your life. If we read God's unchanging Word, we gain wisdom. A few more things and we're going to end. In verse 8, it says here, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It says here, the precepts of the Lord are right. It gives joy in our hearts. Now look at this one. You know, when we were younger, my mom used to own a pharmacy. It's a small one. They were running it together with my dad, and I had the opportunity of being in that pharmacy every morning because my class was in the afternoon. And every time, you know, a patient would come into our pharmacy, they always bring something with them. You know what that is? It's a prescription just like this one right here. My mom would begin to talk to them, and my mom would give them their medicine. For some reason, once they got hold of the medicine from that prescription, they walk out with a slight, you know, slight smile on their face. Folks, I want us to understand this. Whenever you read God's Word, God gives you prescription so that the moment you close it after a quiet moment with God, you walk away from it, you walk away from the quiet moment with God, and you are pregnant with hopes and promises. You know that healing is coming. You know that restoration is coming. You know that breakthrough is coming. Why? Because you were given prescription by God. That's why it brings about a different level of joy in your heart. It makes you joyful for that matter. In verse 9, it says here, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. You know, David was a man who, if you would look at this, he was like writing so many things, would say, you know, God's word would begin to revive us. It brings joy in us. It gives us instruction. He made a conclusion. He made a conclusion. The conclusion was in verse 10. Look at this one. Look at his conclusion. He said, the word, it's more to be desired. More to be desired are they than gold. Even much fine gold. Who among you can honestly say that gold is a valuable thing in this world? You know, gold right here, it's valuable. So David was like, with everything that he has accomplished in his lifetime, he was like saying, gold, word. Gold, word. Man, this carries more weight. This is more valuable. We're talking about a guy here who knows the substance and importance of gold. Now, I want you to understand this, friends. If you're here tonight and you don't have gold at home, but you have a Bible, you have something with you that is far precious than gold. You have something with you that brings about a different perspective in your life. But at the end of the day, we have to be like David. We have to weigh things over. It depends on how we treat God's word. Pag yung word sa atin, parang okay lang. Lagay dito, lagay dun. You're not reading it. then you're not putting weight into it. You're not valuing it for that matter. But for David, he said, all of this gold, man, Bible. Ibang klase tong word ni God. Then not just that, it says here, it is sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. If you go to a grocery, you buy a bottle of honey, just to tell you, you know, whenever I try to buy one, I realize some of them are diluted. Yung iba parang may cornstarch. Yung iba parang iba yung amoy. But what David is saying here is like, it's sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. It's something that's fresh, just like this one right here. It's dripping, it's just so sweet. Now, look at this one. Why in the world would David say that God's word is sweeter than honey? And what an analogy on the part of David. Why would he say that this is sweet? Look at this one, friends. If you are here and you are a Christian, the truth is, this world that we live in will be hostile to you. As long as you're breathing in this world, there will be a lot of bitterness in this world. And God's word will bring about onsets of sweetness for us. The single most bitter thing in this lifetime is the sting of death. Whenever you get to God's word, you got to understand that it has been revealed by God fully, that He removes all of this bitterness in our lives. That's why David understand that his Bible, the scripture basically, is more precious than gold, and it is sweeter than honey. Let me just end this with a video of a group of people who values, you know, who values God's word. If my aunts would visit me here in the Philippines when I was younger, and they would tell me, "Hey, we're coming in summer." You know what I think of? I think about Hershey's. I think about a new shoes. I think about a box na Amoy States. I think about Barbie. No, I'm just kidding. For my sister. I think about all of these things. This group of people right here, the Chinese believers, in modern times, in our generation right now, received a gift, not in the form of chocolates, not in the form of Elsa or whatever, but they were just opening Bibles for themselves. Look at this video right here. Mga sir, mga ma'am, baka po yung mga Bible natin sa bahay na amag na. When was the last time we actually went before God? We were opening our Bibles. Sinamoy, amoy pa natin. Maraming bango, Lord. Grabe, God. You've seen this footage right here. We have the liberty to profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in our nation. There are billions of people out there who don't have that privilege. Dito, kahit saan hotel ka magpunta, may Bible. I mean, we have all of this privilege around us. Here's my prayer for all of us. This is very simple. My prayer is that we will be a people who will read God's word every single day of our lives. It's as if it's like oxygen to us, that if you don't have word, you feel like dying. Okay lang maging exaggerated. Hindi ako makainga, Lord. Walang word. Okay lang yan. But I hope that will be our attitude, that we will read our Bible.